Welcome to Live from Studio A here at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Jeff Kimpton, president of Interlochen, sitting in for Tim today. And we're very fortunate at Studio A today to have the four soloists from the group Cherdo that Mike Thurber has written, The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Plus one. They're going to talk a little bit about their lives and the world of music and what it looks like for young performers that they are today. So besides Mike Thurber, we have Mark Dover on clarinet, and Charles Yang on violin, and Chris Bowers on piano.
Ooh.
Great to everybody here. Yeah. So a program about music should start with music, and let's start with some music. So who's going to go first?
We're going to let Mark and Chris kick it off, clarinet and piano. What are you guys going to play?
We're going to play It Could Happen to You, which is an old standard by Jimmy Van Heusen.
Yeah. Let's take it from the top.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
That was It Could Happen to You, and it happened to us here in Studio A. That's Chris Bowers on piano and Mark Dover on clarinet. And welcome, guys, to Interlaken.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
These four gentlemen have spent the entire week here. They're doing master classes and rehearsals and panel discussions and going into theater classes and comparative arts and all different kinds of things, because the world of music is big and expansive, and there are lots of touch points here on campus, so it's very, very exciting. I'm curious a little bit, as we talk to you and the audience here and to young people who will be listening to this later on podcasts or whatever, about how you all got into music and then how you made the shift from maybe a classical training to the kind of eclectic work that you do. So, Chris, let's start with you a little bit.
Yeah, I started because my parents made me, like a lot of people, and they're not musicians at all, but for some reason they decided before I was born that they wanted me to play piano. And so when I was about four, I started Suzuki lessons and all of that, and then as I got older, I started private lessons, and I wasn't really satisfied with classical music at an early age. I was about 8 or 9 when I started lessons, and I wasn't really that into it, and my parents didn't want me to quit, and so they put me in jazz lessons to see if that would stick a little bit more, and I think
it stuck.
Yeah, I guess just having the freedom to improvise, and also all the music that I was into at the time, a lot of it came from, you know, traditional jazz. So it was kind of great to be able to, you know, mess with that and experiment with that, and also learn songs from the radio and all that.
And do you thank them every day for forcing you to do that?
Probably not every day, but I do thank them in my mind every day. Can't let them know.
Good. Charles, how about you?
I was the same way. I mean, I was forced at an early age. My mom's actually a violinist, and at the age of 3, they gave me a shoebox violin and told me to play. And, you know, I don't remember ever not playing the violin since I was so young, but I do remember hating it for the longest time and hating practicing and not knowing why I'm making these squeaky noises on this wooden thing with 4 strings, you know. And it wasn't until actually Interlaken, where when I came when I was 10 years old, that I realized that I was good at this, and there's a future ahead of me. And being in Austin, Texas, you know, with a lot of blues guitarists, I got rock and roll over there. I got really into classic rock, and I started playing with a whole bunch of rock bands, and that's how I started experimenting with electric, you know, violin and violin.
And you played guitar too, back in the
day. I try. As Chris knows, I try.
But you won the concerto competition twice when you were here at Interlaken in the summer.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's so, when I knew I had a future.
Yeah, right.
You got a taste of the rock star.
And so, Chris, we're sorry you didn't go to Interlaken.
Yeah, I'm the outlier. Yeah.
But everybody else here went to Interlaken Canberra Academy.
You're guilty by association.
Mark, on clarinet, how'd you start?
Yeah, well, I actually started on piano as well when I was about 8. And it was the kind of thing where my parents sat me down with the egg timer and had me, kind of forced me to practice. And I think because of that, I really had an aversion to it. Like, I really wasn't into it. And so after about 1.5 or 2 years, I quit. And then in 5th grade, in the public schools in Ann Arbor, where I grew up, you had to choose an instrument. Mm-hmm. And I had a crush on a girl who was playing clarinet. So I chose
clarinet. It's a good reason. It's always a good reason.
Motivation, egg timer, sex.
Yeah. But, you know, they go hand in hand.
In the 5th grade.
But I think because at that point, my parents didn't really think I was necessarily that into it. They didn't force me to practice. And I started to realize that I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, when I got a little bit older, I spent my first summer at Interlaken. And I really, you know, from that age, I really knew, from about 14 that this is what I wanted to do.
And Mike, we've heard you've been interviewed before, so you guys are sick of me. We know your story.
Just sitting over here, no big deal.
But you really started in classical bass and then started and branched out into jazz.
I did, and pop music and all that. Yeah,
right. And three of you went. All of you went to Juilliard. No, you didn't go to Juilliard.
So we have an outlier on both sides. We have a Juilliard outlier and an Interlaken outlier.
So just before we get to our next tune, you're here working with all these young people here this week, and everybody's talk about careers and where do you go and how do you get interested in music, and people have a lot of interest in music. What's your advice to them? You know, Juilliard just got a huge grant for this career center.
Right.
What are they going to help people do? Find regular jobs or help them branch out and change and and be more creative and exploratory and interdisciplinary. And so where's it going to go? And
yeah, so I actually know about this this grant and the people who helped, you know, the Marxists that, you know, they donated this money. And you know, I've sat down and talked to them about careers after Juilliard, what happens after you graduate and or even when you're at Juilliard. It's a really great direction that they're taking now. You know, it's a they're aware of the things that need to be done to really be your own musician today. You know, to be an entrepreneur and to any interesting projects. You know, creativity is encouraged now. You know, and I think that's a you know a product of just how many students that came out of Juilliard afterwards that did other things. You know, I think that. Mm-hmm. That's what sparked this,
or don't have jobs,
in music. Or don't yeah exactly. Yeah. So yeah. It's extremes of both that sparked this, and I think it's a fresh new approach. I think it gives a little security and encouragement in terms of doing some more creative things.
Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that when you're in school, it's easy to get into the kind of tunnel vision in terms of what you're working on. Mm-hmm. When I had, you know, classical music training and I was just playing excerpts and concerti and all that. And I really wish someone had told me how different it was going to be when I finished school and you're trying to actually make a living at it. So I really think the future of like the curriculum and just the mindset of the conservatories, especially like Juilliard and the top tier ones is not just how to get people virtuosic at their instrument, but how to really live in the 21st century as a musician and be an entrepreneur, because that's in a businessman and that's really what you have to do unless you're one of the few people who are lucky enough to win an orchestra job and keep an orchestra job, which is a whole other challenge.
And keep an orchestra.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. keep an orchestra. Yeah, yeah exactly. Right. So I think that's really going to be the future. And the current model of like, you know, the old like French school of conservatory training. I think they, you know, some schools are doing some really great things, Juilliard included and Manhattan School of Music where I went, in terms of trying to start to develop their curriculum to prepare students. So.
Is it hard? Chris, did you go in jazz to Juilliard?
Yeah, I went for jazz. Yeah.
But is it hard within the academy? Not the academy is a euphemism for higher ed. Is it hard in higher ed to get people to change? Do you need a few outliers in the faculty who are ready to try some different things? Is it still pretty traditional? And is this a tough direction for some people to go? Anybody?
That's an interesting question, because I think the outlier faculty members that are encouraging of thinking outside of the box are absolutely helpful. At the same time, I'll speak from my experience and say that having something to push against is actually also very helpful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes having a structure that you don't agree with or having a curriculum that you don't agree with can actually clearly define what you don't want to do or what you don't think is worthwhile. So in a weird sort of you know, paradoxical way, that can be helpful as well. I think we all kind of found those teachers along the way, though, whether they were inside a school or outside of school, that encouraged us to do our own thing and were supportive of us going in different directions. And that's, of course, that affirmation is really important.
Well, let's hear you do your own thing. I think our second piece is going to be Charles and Mike. And you want to introduce it? You want to talk about your own creativity and going out of the box? I think we're about to hear that. So,
yeah. Well, Mike and I, you know, this is a piece that Mike and I actually play a lot. And, you know, we actually, when we started playing together, this was I play this on the violin a lot. It's called Chartist by Monty. And when I started jamming with Mike, Mike goes, "Oh, I want to join with this too," you know? So he did it on the bass. It's quite virtuosic. So, yeah, this is Chartist by Monty. Thank you.
That was the tune Chartists. They're played by Charles Yang and Mike Thurber. As we think about the whole landscape that you have, because you guys are pretty young, really, and the students here at Interlaken and around the world, what do you think are going to be some of the long-term trends that people are going to deal with over the next 20 or 30 years in their creative careers? And let's turn to Chris.
Yeah, I feel like as far as musicians that want to create their own thing, it's not being afraid to be honest to all the music that you're into, because I feel like across genre barriers or whatever you want to call them, there are people that are incorporating other genres and other things that they are into. So if you listen to, you know, modern day rap music, for example, it has a lot of influences from electronic music and, you know, house music or grunge music or grime music from the UK and all these different genres. And so I feel like people are not afraid to be honest to that. And I feel like that is just going to happen more and more. And, you know, you look at each one of us, we all play music or create music that incorporates more than just whatever box we've grown up being labeled within, you know? And so I think that's one thing to really be more exploratory, I think, is to really find out what you're into and not be afraid to express that.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Yeah, man, that's what Chris said is right on spot. I feel, you know, as a classical musician, as having a really conservative mom teach me violin and, you know, say, Charles, you need to practice. We can cut that out. but, you know, she was really conservative and didn't approve of me playing rock bands. And because she, you know, she went through the Cultural Revolution and went to Shanghai Conservatory and just thought classical music was it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, you know, it was rebellion, you know, that kind of got me into trying new things. And, you know, I'm always inspired. That kept me open-minded, you know, when I'm watching these guys play, like, you know, Chris and Mark and Mike and anybody, you know, I'm always learning because they're incredible. You know, you just learn from every musician. When you stop learning, that's when the fun stops, you know. So I think for us, for any musician, I think throughout their whole career or throughout their whole life, you're just constantly learning from each other. So it's a thing.
So listening, being open to new genre, and there are so many genres and more and more being created all the time. Mm-hmm. What else? What's the business going to be like? You know, there's an interesting chart that shows people going from traditional musicians to more entrepreneurs to more spirituality and really moving into the whole mind-body-brain relationship. And there's a lot of research going on there. So
yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting because while these artistic things are happening that both Chris and Charles touched on, business-wise, I think all of the marketing techniques and all of the buckets or the boxes that have been made for traditional paths, those are all disappearing too. Those have all sort of been pushed to their max. So traditional, you know, approach to a booking agency, traditional approach to, you know, promoting concerts, these things have already been done and redone and outdone so many times. And also, you know, ticket sales are dropping and record sales are dropping because of, you know, digital music and the way it's recorded and the way that people consume it now and the way that media is mostly blog-based now instead of newspaper or even website-based. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is happening while musicians don't want to be pigeonholed. So it's actually an incredible time. I mean, I think it's scary, and so a lot of people don't really know how to deal with it. But really, there's more opportunity than ever because the more different directions you go as a musician, the business actually needs that just as much as the musicians need it, because all of these traditional, you know, standards are being broken down. They don't work anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, this has been good. I know we're running out a little bit out of time here on Studio A, and it's been great having you here. And of course, there's one thing that never changes and will never change, and that's the blues.
Whoa. Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did
taking
there.
Taking it there.
Blues. So Mike Thurber, Mark Dover, Charles Yang, Chris Bowers, it's great to have you here. And you've got an Interlaken blues, right?
We do indeed. Right. We do indeed. Right. Win in Rome, you know.
Let's take it. Thanks for being here on Studio A, and we're going to go out with the Interlaken blues.